Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Unmasked, the Chronicles of Romaran and Sandata. For those who are tuning in and joining us only on this episode just now, this is a podcast about myself, Romeo Moran, as the wrestler Sandata. For those who follow the local Philippine wrestling scene, so this is pretty much a podcast for local wrestling fans and some fans who may know me from other parts of the world. So my name is Romeo Moran. I am a podcaster, a writer about wrestling, and sometimes wrestler, most times commentator. And with me is my co-host and my smart Mark Sterling,
the yes,
incomparable ABL Anselmo.
Say hi. I'm here, and I'm gonna proprietize this podcast, you know, help you host this thing. So
yes. So ABL here is the facilitator of the conversation.
Yes.
This is again a place where I'm telling the story of my career and then to go to the story that follows after the 8 or so years I've been active in the wrestling scene.
Happy 8 years, man.
Thank you. It turned 8 no Feb.
Okay.
This year.
Yeah. So last episode, mm-hmm. we were talking about like where you are right now, right? So this time, we're putting on the time machine way, way back.
Woohoo! Yes, sir.
We're riding that wave back to, what, 2013 or 2014?
2014. Yeah.
2014.
Well, actually before that, because it's also my origin story.
Yes, the origin story.
I've talked about it in a few podcast guestings or show guestings.
Even Wrestling After Work.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, he did.
So it's not just when I started training. It's also before.
Like how everything sparked. So go ahead, you know. So how did you begin in the wrestling business? Like, where did the fandom start?
The fandom started when I was in high school. So
you're pretty late, though.
No, not necessarily. It seriously started noong high school.
Oh, okay.
And I had been playing wrestling games as a child, as a kid. And then my mom didn't really want us watching wrestling, which I totally understand. If I were a parent, eventually, I'm not sure I would have my young kids watch wrestling. Because even though it says, don't try this at home, you will always try it at home. Everyone tried it at home. Even parents would try it on their kids at home. You've seen videos
on TikTok, social media. Yeah.
So I had already a familiarity with pro wrestling as a child, as a kid, as a young kid. But it was only in high school where we were kind of allowed, or my mom finally was okay with us watching wrestling kasi parang wala na siyang magagawa nun.
Yeah.
And we weren't as, I don't know, we weren't as stupid. I did still wrestle with my brothers as an early teenager. We would do that stuff. And needs to nakahapi kunan.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Actually, I know how it feels, but yeah.
So I wanted to be a pro wrestler in like first year high school at the very least, diba? Because like a lot of other people, especially those who would comment on our social media posts on both PWR and MWF, I thought it was easy because all you had to do was fight and hit cool moves, and then when you learned it was scripted and fake, you would know now, okay, you don't really have to have that much strength.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you think you might not need that much strength to hit cool moves, diba?
And you can have like someone to throw it off to
because you're working. Someone would help you, diba?
Exactly.
So there is that. I thought that you would just learn to fight. You would learn how to wrestle, and that would be it as a wrestler, diba? That would make you a wrestler, diba?
You didn't have to, like, it's not a lot of brain work.
Yeah. And then the small guys, like Cena Rey Mysterio, and to a point, like Cena Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, and the cruiserweights of the time.
Redacted?
No, we don't redact Chris Benoit. It's fine. Chris Benoit.
Dion's favorite.
So because because the small guys were able to wrestle, like Cena Brian Kendricks and even Spike Dudley. Spike Dudley was the smallest guy.
Paul London, man.
I thought I could do what they were doing as cruiserweights, you know? And then eventually, as I learned more about the wrestling business, especially when I read books, the first wrestling book I ever read was Edge's, because Edge was one of my favorite wrestlers at the time. And I learned that it was a lot of work. It was a lot of conditioning. It was a lot of training. And eventually, I would figure out, now, okay, this is what professional athletes do when they're professionals, you know? It's not just a thing you do. It's a thing that you really, really train for, even though sometimes it might not look that way when you see other people, especially indie wrestlers. So, yeah, I really wanted to become a wrestler. I wanted to do that stuff because I thought I would be good at it. And then as a teenager, I thought the only way to do it, and a lot of people, other people here thought that too, I thought you had to go to the U.S., to train. So it was the only other place.
It was the only option.
Yeah, diba. Japan was there, obviously, but it wasn't an option to me because, one, I didn't know about Japan. I didn't know about Japanese wrestling. And
only thing we knew was about WWE. Exactly. So.
And two, how would I communicate with anyone there? Because I didn't know Japanese. But champion, we know now that, you know, you can train in Japan because some people know English, right?
Yes.
Okay, so really quick side story. We actually tried to migrate to the U.S., my family and I. So we tried to move to Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Yeah, back in 2006. My dad chose it because we had a family friend who was there. They ran contracting business. And he thought that he could get there and become an immigrant by working there illegally. So I'm not gonna hide it. We tried to move there illegally. I didn't want it at the time. I didn't want to leave my friends, you know, my life here in the Philippines. But I did think that it would get me close to becoming a pro wrestler, you know, because siempre, U.S., so many schools there, so many wrestling promotions to work for.
It's like a wrestling fan's daydream outside of the U.S. Yeah, like outside of that spectrum, it's like, get to the U.S., get to the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, so we tried to do it TNT. It was, yeah, man.
No. I just like the term.
No, it's fine, yeah.
I just like the term.
It didn't work because we only stayed there for like 3 months. And then,
oh, no way. You took a long, extended period there.
Yeah. It was 6 months, yung maximum allowed for tourist visas, for tourists to stay in the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. After 3 months, they didn't want to risk being illegal immigrants and being found out. I don't know. I never knew the real reason why. Maybe one day they'll listen to this and tell me.
Oh, this is the real reason. Bro? Let's sit down. I'm going to tell you all about it.
we just never knew why we decided to come back. Because it was funny because before we left, we had so much hullabaloo about saying goodbye to our friends, right? We thought we were never going to see each other again. Then 3 months later, we were back.
Same year. Let's go. we're back, baby.
We came back a couple of weeks after school started. So, buti na habol pa.
Man, bro.
Diba?
That was clutch a little bit.
Clutch, yeah. It was clutch. I looking back at it, though, I wish now na tuloy kami kasi syempre life here sucks. Life in the US is marginally better, but life here really sucks, man. And then I wish I would have been able to get the training from better, more experienced people in the US.
And Chicago is a hotbed. Oh, so yes. if you
wrestling town.
If you had like a place to like really learn wrestling, you probably have to go to either Chicago, New York, right?
New York, Philly,
yeah. So
LA.
great place to start if you wanted to become a pro wrestler.
Yes, sir. So yeah, sayang. Looking back at it right now, it would have been crazy how much different my life would have been.
Just to cut you off a little bit, can I shake your hand a little bit?
Why?
Okay. So I had this conversation with my aunt back in 2004, 2003. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking the same thing. And it was, I was really young and I was thinking like, hey, why don't I move here? I was in San Francisco. And I was thinking, why don't I move here? And then I was saying to her, study. But in the back of my mind, why not go to wrestling school here?
Speaking of study, I'd already taken the SATs before I left.
Oh,
so. After I left. After we came back, pala. Kasi the thought was we could have tried to.
Yeah.
But it's so expensive. I didn't know how we were going to pull it off. I just took the SATs. I got invites from colleges. Because when you score
certain amount, yeah.
Yeah, they just send you invites. They just send you yung brochures, paperwork.
Unlike here in the Philippines.
But I didn't know how we were going to do it. I didn't know how we were going to pay for it. They never told me, my parents never told me how we were going to do it, even though they wanted me to do it, you know? So,
Could have had a scholarship route, though.
I don't know.
Oh, so it was never discussed.
The scholarship was discussed, but I didn't think I could do it because I wasn't really... I wasn't like a top student or anything. ADHD then kind of helps, kind of makes you, you know, distracts you all the time. So at worst, I was just a slightly above average student at the time.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if I was going to be able to maintain a scholarship. And I didn't want them then to, you know, borrow from any of my relatives living in the States or Canada.
Of course. So, you don't want to bother them.
Yeah. Unless they were really going to do that, but they were set on doing that, I didn't want to bother them. Because college in the U.S., Jemper, is super expensive. People get student loans.
Student loans, right?
And then they end up paying for it for years. Maybe I could have gotten a student loan. I don't know.
Okay.
But since deciding to become or to want to become a wrestler, I had started to exercise. I wanted to get bigger. Jemper, you got to get big. But I didn't know how to do it, man. I tried starting when I was in high school. Didn't have money for a gym. Couldn't go consistently.
Yeah.
Some of my other batchmates were able to, and they got big. They got super athletic, super jacked at the time.
Did that get you like,
Yeah. I wanted to do that. my first real, the first time I learned seriously about lifting was in college as a PE. Because we had a weightlifting class for PE.
Where'd you go to college?
UP.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. So we had weightlifting PEs. And I learned. I learned how to do stuff. I learned how to, the basic stuff. But, siyempre, because it was a PE and because I was in college, I could not get serious and consistent about it until I graduated and kicked out of law school.
That's something we have to discuss offline.
Sure.
Offline.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got kicked out of law school.
So then I was able to start going to the gym because I had a lot of free time before I entered the workforce. So I was 2013. I started working out. Didn't see results just yet because I didn't know how to do it properly. Right? So
how do you like? Do it properly. How do you find out how to do it properly?
I forgot. I think it was in
YouTube,
Men's Health magazine.
Oh, okay, magazines.
Mm-hmm. In 2014, I also started taking protein. That was like the first time I had started really looking a little more jacked. Like I started figuring out how to do it properly. Mm-hmm. If you would see my photos from my debut, I looked pretty athletic. So I had some muscle.
Yeah.
I had a gut, but I gained mass.
No, but you were lean, though. No, I mean, a little lean.
No. Nung early photos ko, before I debuted, I looked big.
Okay.
I gained a lot because I was already working then. And, you know, you get more money, get to eat more, you know.
More resources. Like
yeah. And then even though I was relatively fit, like I was one of the fit persons in PWR at the time, I wouldn't really figure out how to put it all together, you know, in the gym and in nutrition until 2018, 2019, where I had started looking more like a wrestler. I gained more muscle mass. You also gained a little more fat, but it was a far cry from my smaller days.
Yeah. When I first saw you in MWF, huge difference.
So that was when I started looking like a real pro wrestler, and I wish I knew what I know, what I
know now.
Yeah. So,
how about now? Like, what do you feel your shape has been?
I'm in the best shape I've ever been. Ironically, after I stopped wrestling,
man. And then you covered it all up in a suit.
Yeah.
When you do the commentary, you can't even do a commentary in like muscle shirts and shorts.
I do commentary now in polo shirts that are tight.
Yeah. Oh, show the figure, huh?
Yeah. You can see it's, I know. So videos and photos. A video on.
And you can see it on his social media.
Yeah. From Kasaysayan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see that there. So it's funny that the commentator looks better than some of the rest.
No, I'm sorry.
This is the truth. Fabs is the best looking one of all of us, but he will say that, you know, some people don't look like the best wrestlers that they can look like.
Yes,
you know?
yes.
So it's a thing that everyone is actively working on.
And that's good.
Yeah, I'm not shaming anyone. It's hard. Like in the last episode I mentioned, it was really hard to do that. It's really hard to do that, especially when you're not, when you don't have the resources for
it. Yeah. You don't have like the gyms to go to or the nutrition, something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So because of that, you know, now that you've started exercising without fully knowing, but you were going to the gym, you were in their shape, but you couldn't get into the wrestling business. Is that correct?
No. Before PWR came along, right?
Yeah. Before PWR. So what was feeding the bug?
I had started e-fedding. Do you know what e-feds are?
Yeah.
All right. For those who don't know what e-feds are, they are online wrestling role playing.
So I love it.
Either you take an existing wrestler and you role play as them. That is a forum stuff. So.
Oh, you did. There were people who were doing existing wrestlers, like let's say a John Cena.
I've seen them. I've seen real life RPing.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's the worst. The other one is you create your own character.
There we go.
Yeah. That's what I did. In wrestling forums, you know. That
was Sandata, the character that you were performing in the E-Fed? Nope. Okay. Nope. So what is the name of the E-Fed?
It was in lordsofpain.net, which is now wrestlingheadlines.net. So
was this in the US or was this in the Philippines?
US.
In the US, okay.
That's how I got started. We'll talk about that in a bit. The name of the E-Fed was LPW, Lords of Pain Wrestling.
Ooh, Indie-Fed. Indie-Fed. I'm just going to say that out there.
Indie-Fed. So it was like the precursor to Deadlock, right?
Deadlock Pro.
Yeah, Deadlock Pro started.
Love
started as a podcast, right?
And then they just
funded an entire company.
They did a podcast and they did like video games.
Yeah.
And then boom, like, I don't know, man. Jesus.
So that was the closest thing I had to becoming a wrestler by, you know, living or writing a pro wrestling character.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was a part of the Lords of Pain system, I started writing columns at Columns Forum. They had a forum for column writing for people who wanted to write about the takes.
Takes on wrestling. Lords of Pain or wrestling in general? Wrestling. Okay.
So that would get me into wrestling writing, which would then fuel my entire wrestling career. As a champion, it would have the rest. It would start. That's how I would start. The Wrestling podcast is how I would start. That's how I started writing about wrestling on Rappler.
Oh, you did, right?
Yeah, I did.
Right.
I was a main page columnist for Lords of Pain, which is a high traffic site. You know, I didn't realize at the time how big you reached the Lords of Pain was.
Until now, do you still like have connections to Lords of Pain?
Yeah, some of the people there.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice.
So I had people all around the world, and then people here who would read Lords of Pain, and then they would tell me that they were reading my stuff, and then some of them would realize, oh, Pilipino pala to na nagsusulat about wrestling on an international site.
You have to show me this.
The columns
that you've been.
I'll find them some Wayback Machine.
Okay.
I'll see if they're still there somewhere. This was the early 2010s.
Oh, ooh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so that was your e-fedding phase. Mm. So what was the next step after e-fedding?
Okay, the next step after e-fedding was the Philippine wrestling scene coming together.
Ooh. So here we go.
So a bunch of people I forgot how I saw it, but a bunch of people just decided to start their own wrestling company here.
Yeah, it was weird.
So it was a lot of the guys who started early PWR. And then there was some of these guys were also the people who would start MWF then. So they just got together, out of sheer willpower. They started the company. They would find someone who knew some stuff and would train them. That's how they ended up with Bombay Suarez.
Yes.
But first, while they were getting that together, the first thing that they did was the Joshi Jam show. Were you there? Did you know about Joshi Jam?
Actually, I've only gotten familiar with Joshi Jam 2019.
Yes, so there's a reason for that.
Not a huge...
Because the show was terribly promoted.
This happened in the Philippines?
Yes, this happened in the Philippines.
Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah, so I didn't know this.
It was the idea of Sina Tajiri.
Oh, Tajiri.
And they worked with this this Joshi company. It was called Reina. And then Sina Tajiri was one of the trainers. You know Shuri, right? Shuri Kondo.
Yeah, Shuri Kondo. Okay.
Shuri Kondo is Filipino.
Yes.
So she's a big draw, one of the big draws. And she came over, I believe it was for a benefit, I believe. The show was co-produced by the PWR guys.
Okay.
And the big draw was Shuri, who was Filipino-Japanese, and Tajiri.
It was a WWE like superstar.
But it was so terribly promoted that only hardcore wrestling fans in the Philippines, yung mga connected online.
Yun lang yung mga pumunta.
Yun lang yung nakaalam. And then I posted after a picture. I had a picture with Tajiri. And then Mia Yim was also there.
Oh my God.
Yes, Mia Yim was like the other person I knew.
What the hell?
Yes, sir. And then the guy who you would know now as Ikemenjiro was also there.
Oh, yeah. Yo. Love that guy. Mm. Love that guy. I didn't know that he was in the business for that long.
Yes, he was.
I thought he was just like recently. No, man.
The people you see on NXT, a lot of them, they've been in the business for years.
Dante Chen, man. Love him.
They were there. And then it was only after I posted the picture with Tajiri that people found out. People who were wrestling fans found out that Tajiri was here. And Tajiri should have been the big draw because he was a WWE guy.
Instead of Shuri.
Yeah. Ugh. So, yun ya, terribly promoted. Had more wrestling fans known that Tajiri was going to be coming, they would have filled yung Inares Pasig.
Oh, they did it in Pasig. Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the bleachers sa Inares were empty. And then we were all at ringside. So it was like a typical PWR show. it drew like, I think, 200 people.
To be fair, 200 is...
I don't know. I'm not sure. It could be around 100 now.
Okay.
Because it was really just us local wrestling fans who were clued in. I found out about it, I believe, when somebody asked TJP if he was going to come wrestle. Because TJP was still in Ring of Honor at the time.
What? He was? Oh, right. He had that second run. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yun. That's when I found out that they wanted Tajiri to come and train them, which he eventually would, but for MWF. So, they ran this spot, because I said a Bombay to, I forgot who he was with. They ran a quick spot during the intermission. And then Tajiri came and scolded them in kayfabe, saying, if you want to do this, I'm going to train you. So that's when I found that.
There was something. There was something brewing.
There were plans for it. So that got me geeked. But when I found out that PWR was a thing, I didn't want to train with them at first. Because one of the most important pieces of advice that I saw online from William Regal, because he would post before, was that you gotta train under a reputable trainer who knows what they're doing. Right? And I felt like early PWR was fucking around, was messing around.
It was Mudshow Fields.
But they posted they did a test show, so Fit Plus. And then I kind of shat all over it because they posted this picture of Classical Brian Leo with a wound because they did a hardcore match. And I shat all over it because I thought they were being reckless.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were messing around. Right? So I kind of shat all over that in our Facebook group. And then turns out they were working. They worked us.
No. Yeah. They confirmed it to you.
Yeah, they confirmed it.
Okay, so.
And then after that, they posted a highlight video of them doing moves. And then legitimate moves. Like, they hit it great. This was before their first show to MCS, Renaissance.
Okay.
2014. And it was like their hype for that show. And then I thought, oh God, this looks real. This looks legit.
Yeah.
So, okay, now my mind was changed and I wanted to train with them. And I messaged JDL. I apologize for shitting on them.
Wasn't your, one of your first wrestling friends, JDL? Or what,
first wrestling friends?
Yeah.
No, my first wrestling friend was Stan.
Stan, okay, okay.
And then my high school barkada would lapse out of the fandom.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. So, who was the one, when you got there, because you said you apologized first.
I apologize. Then
what happened and who was the first people who got to train you?
I apologized and I asked, can I come train with you guys now? Because now I want to try it. And then he said, they weren't opening it for new trainees just yet. So, but, stay tuned because they were going to eventually.
The boot camp. Yeah.
Then they did their first show sa MCS in Renaissance. And it was fun, man. It was super fun. Siyempre, we knew that a lot of these guys were inexperienced. But, I watched indie wrestling. And I think Stan saw some indie wrestling. I knew that, siyempre, indie wrestlers were not yet at the top of their craft.
Not yet ready.
Yeah. So I understood that when you're starting out, obviously, it's not going to be WWE levels of awesome, right? which current fans here in the Philippines, a lot of Filipino fans don't understand.
Of course. They feel like whenever they watch a wrestling show, it's supposed to be the best thing ever. So yeah.
They think that if you have the balls to present yourself in front of them, dapat ready ka na. Dapat WWE levels ka na. Dapat super major league. As though you were doing this for more than 10 years, which obviously we were not. Which they were not. We're still not.
10 years. Not even 5 years.
No. You don't get that good in 5 years. Huh?
Yeah.
You don't
not even.
The people you watch on the very top shows here in WWE, AEW, well, not in Dark, but the people you see on TV, they have been doing that for around 10 years. At least 10 years. You don't do that. You don't get to do that in a few years' time, unless you are a super prodigy, super blue chipper.
There are some, but but it doesn't go that way all the time.
So the show was fun. The fact that there was live wrestling in the Philippines and these guys were doing it, that was pretty fun. And it got me even more excited to train with them. So they opened yung boot camp that later that month, or I believe it was in October 2014, and I immediately jumped at the chance.
Yeah.
Looking back at it, I should have waited a little more.
Well, how come?
Because they were operating and training based on very little knowledge and experience.
Oh.
So, kasi si Bombay was their first trainer, and Bombay was just a backyard wrestler. He had some experience from the States. Bombay kasi spent time in the States.
And he did wrestling school or no?
I don't know if he did wrestling school, but he was a backyard wrestler. And then
legit backyard. Okay, okay.
He showed us a little of the basics he knew. Like, he showed us how to take a bump. He showed us how to work punches and kicks. Maybe a headlock or a tie-up. But, you know, he wasn't, like, super formally trained. And then they brought in this guy, this American, called Josh Bouserman. And he had a ring name of Graven Sloan. And he was part of the first test show, doing sa Fit Plus.
Yeah.
And his claim was that he was an alumnus of the wrestling school of Sean Hernandez from LAX.
Hernandez. My boy.
Big okay. dude. But I didn't know if he was actually a worker who was booked in an actual wrestling show. I didn't know that. But at least he went through training, formal training.
But did, I mean, like right now, do you even bother to check again? Just to make sure.
I don't know if he's here. I don't know if he's here. No.
I meant like maybe internet, like just seeing.
No, I didn't think so. Because it seemed like he came over after he did that, or he wasn't really wrestling. I don't know. I literally never heard of him until then.
Then,
you know?
okay.
So at least yun may konting experience, but it wasn't like the main experience that we would have now.
And you want what you wanted, but I based thought, from no, the no, William no, Regal. No.
But I thought that it was enough. You know, I thought it was enough to get us by.
Yeah, just to get you started. Mm. Right. Okay.
But it was only until after more experienced guys came over, like Sosai King, Billy Suede.
Oh, Billy Suede.
Tengu.
Always loved Billy Suede.
Kota Hiro. They showed us what we were really missing from these other guys in Bombay and Josh, who only knew the basics. Mm-hmm. So I wish I had started training after those guys had come.
Oh, so, you know, the knowledge was a little bit better, except just the basics.
Yeah,
right?
So swerte yung mga na sumunod na generations ng boot camp batches after
even,
us.
Even now?
Because,
damn.
Yeah, even now in MWF with the Jiri's training, Ho Ho Loon's training.
Oh, Ho Ho Loon, yes. Yeah. Great, so, great coaches. So you started training. Mm. So tell me about the whole experience. So now you were, who were you batchmates with? Where were you doing this? What was the, like, what was the experience like starting off in pro wrestling in general?
Okay, so my batchmates were a who's who of the current wrestling scene.
Let's
so
go.
You got guys like Ralph Imabayashi,
yeah,
John Sebastian, who is no longer a part of the business now. You had Crystal, Mike Madrigal, the current FPW champion.
Is he? Was he crowned the first FPW
yes,
champion?
Yes, he was. He was.
Okay.
You had Fighters for Hire. I don't know if you ever saw these guys.
I saw them, but I didn't watch them, though. So
Crystal, siempre, one of the most notable wrestlers from here. And then guys that you might not know of anymore, so Mark Di Manalo. Mark Di Manalo is still hanging around us. He supports us from afar, pero he, I don't know, like I mentioned in the first episode.
The Exodus?
Not the Exodus, okay. But he just had to start becoming an adult.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And then see Peter Versaza, who was my former.
Actually familiar with those guys, so.
Yeah.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong. Peter Versosa was the one using the pedigree.
Yes.
Oh, knew it. Yes. Okay, there we go. So
he pedigreed me.
Right. Some memories that we can come back soon.
Later, yeah. We'll eventually get to it. So yeah, notable other alumnus, someone who trained with us. Anytime Fitness Asia Regional Operations Director, Mark De Hoya, MDJ, a good friend of us, of the podcast as well. But he only tried wrestling for only two or three sessions because he was like in his mid or late 30s. So very much an adult.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't start at a later age. It's just that it's a little more difficult because you have so many
responsibilities. There we go.
Then your body could also be breaking down. So now that I'm older as well, now that I am advanced in my day job, my professional career, I completely understand it now.
Yeah.
It's gonna why wrestling wasn't a big priority for him, you know. Yeah, so we trained, we knew some stuff, we learned the basics, some I believe Sosai King was also part of that. He came around that time and then learned a little, taught us a little more.
So who were some of the coaches that you got to experience? So Sosai King was one, and then was Billy Suede one of them?
Billy Suede did not come yet. He came at around 2016.
Okay.
So matagal pa siya.
Yeah.
Or 2015.
So who were like the notable ones, the coaches that you got to experience?
Billy Suede taught me the most.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There
taught
we go.
Taught me the most because he had, at the time, 10 years of experience now.
Yeah.
He was an indie wrestler, but he was so good. He was like an unsigned solid hand.
He was getting booked in NWA.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No. Like NWA regional shows.
Regional shows.
He was doing a lot.
Oh, yeah. And he was like a champion.
Yeah, right? So I was like, yo, they got Billy Suede. And I was watching him on YouTube. So I was like,
yeah. So Filipino siya. He grew up in Canada, Vancouver. And he taught me the most because he was so good.
Yeah.
He was so fluid in the ring. He trained under Lance Storm.
Ah, Lance Storm.
He
there
was
we
batchmates
go.
With Tyler Breeze.
Oh, that's a good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Tyler Breeze is training the future right now, so you better know.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he taught me the most. Chili Willy was also there, but Chili Willy's career, because it was not as long. So, he was also focused on the fundamentals. So, he taught us what he knew from ECW and WWE developmental.
I think I did see Chili Willy on my first training day. Huh.
Yeah, I think he was there. It's MWF.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, yeah.
He served as like the consultant or yung coach emeritus. MWF. Like
I got hurt bad. Like the first tie-ups. Because he was big.
Oh, yeah, he was big.
So when he grabbed hold of my neck, I was like, ooh. Oh, yeah, I was small. That's why I got paired with Robin. Because it was an odd number of people. So they had to let the coach like mix. And for some weird reason, I was like, I think I was the only person of my size at that time. So they were like, yeah, give him Robin. And I was like, oh, okay. So
that makes sense.
I got Robin. So, but yeah, he was big. But yeah, he did focus a lot on the basics. And he was like pretty adamant on that. Like he wanted to like teach everyone that, yo,
that naman
be safe. Do the basics.
Lahat ng dumaan sa amin, lahat ng dumaan dito para mag-train sa amin, they really emphasize the basics. And for good reason, because a lot of people, pretty much everyone, even the people who are really good now, they wanted to do the fancy stuff.
Early.
Like, agad. So we really needed to be reined in and emphasize that you gotta do the basics well. And unfortunately, even now, some of what you would call veterans aren't good at the basics. So that's the sad part.
Instead of like, you know, I think the most important thing is the safety.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to know the basics. And if you start getting ahead, you know, chances of making mistakes are pretty huge.
Yeah.
So now that, you know, you have gotten the training. You have went along with it, right? You're a graduate after 4 months.
Yep.
So what was the process moving from graduation to your first show?
Okay. The way we did it before was that when they felt you were ready, you were suggested or nominated for graduation. So a lot of us, mostly the people who stuck around, graduated early. See, John Sebastian, Sebasti, he was like the big pick noong ni Classical Brian Leo, who was to Yusuf, who was one of the head trainers of boot camp at the time. So he was like a Yusuf guy, and he booked him on Terminus 2014, which was the December show. So that was way before any of us had graduated. So he was literally the first person from our batch to get booked on a show.
Was he already doing the gimmick? Or
not yet. Which one?
No, he was
the Wrestling Lord and Savior?
No, yeah.
He had a gimmick, But at the time, he was like a young boy.
Okay, there we go. And then
from after there, that, syempre, they needed more bodies to put on the card, right?
Yeah.
So
gotta fill the card, right?
So we were graduated. John Sebastian, Ralph Imabayashi, Mark Dimanalo, Fighters for Hire, and then myself and Peter Versosa. So a lot of those guys, they knew what they wanted to do, I think. It seemed that way.
Like the gimmick?
Yeah, the gimmick, okay, style. Okay. They knew what they wanted to do. And then because of that, yung creative at the time had more concrete plans for them. You know? So...
Did you?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you?
Did I what?
Like, did you know what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I kind of knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a luchador because Lucha Underground was getting popular at the time.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Lucha Underground. So I wanted to be like this masked superhero character. And then the peg for it was like Axiom. I mean, Champion, Axiom was recent, was later. Pero sina Axiom and then eventually El Cateponero from MWF now, they're doing what I really wanted to do with the character. Especially si El Cateponero, who is a Filipino flavored masked hero character.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's doing Sandata a lot better than I did.
He's like a vigilante of some sorts. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that's the peg, but I didn't know if I had the lucha skills at the time. Anyway, sorry, before that, there was Champrey, I gotta tell the story of the Sandata character.
Yeah, yeah, please. Like, what was the roots of the Sandata character?
Where I wanted to be like a Black Panther type of character, superhero character. That's why that was why the original gear was black, all black. Tapos, I really wanted to call myself. I wanted to call myself Alamid because I thought, one, I wanted to be Filipino flavored, you know. I wanted to be like a Filipino themed character because a lot of the guys at the time were super Western influenced. I said they wanted to be like American style pro wrestling. You got guys who were named like classical Brian Leo, Mayhem Brannigan. This guy wasn't Irish. But why are you calling yourself Brannigan?
But I think it comes with the character.
What is the character? Pwede ka naman maging anarchist na Pinoy, ha?
Well, okay. I understand where the heat is coming from. I understand.
No, I just thought it was like the weirdest name to come out from that.
Mayhem Brannigan. But I thought I liked the name.
Ken Warren.
Ken Warren, I like the name.
Yeah, ooh. Pero it felt super American to me.
Mm-hmm.
Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Who wanted to be Kane, you know?
I didn't have any doubt that was the plan when you said it.
Yeah, tapos si John Sebastian. Obviously, his name is John Sebastian, pero he wanted to call himself
The English version. Yeah. The English version. Yeah, okay.
Chris Panzer, you can excuse because he is white.
Okay. How about Bombay Suarez?
Bombay Suarez, I di ko alam kung may lahi si Bombay, pero the fact that he pronounced it Bombay, you know, kind of was weird to me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Di ba? Siyempre, I guess he couldn't use the slur as a pronunciation.
Oh, of course. You can't. You have to be sensitive.
So I like the guys who had more Filipino flavors to them, like si Canto Terror, Jake De Leon, who was a Hacendero at the time, Mike Vargas, who was like a brown meat babyface. I'm friends with Mike Vargas now.
Okay.
But I think he will tell you the same thing. The Nelson Jr., who was a basketball player, Barangay Liga character. Like, he was the best character then because that was Filipino as fuck. Him and Canto Terror was Filipino as fuck.
But the goddamn name, I'm just generally shocked. The Nelson.
Yeah, I don't know. Man. I don't know what the story was there, but his gimmick was chef's kiss.
I can already tell he's a superstar. Oh man.
So because of that, I chose the term Sandata, and then also I couldn't use Alamid at the time because it turns out. It was not the Tagalog word for panther. I thought it was.
And it was?
It was a civet cat. You know, the cat that shits coffee beans that you turn. And then it was the fact was, it was a small cat.
Okay.
But now that I think about it, I think it would have worked. Because it was a cool sounding name. Cool sounding word.
I don't think you had to explain it.
I guess.
Because the way it sounds to me right now, it's the cool name, right? It is as you said, name. It's a cool name. So
I think I should have used it looking back. But, siyempre, I chose Sandata kasi...
Ever had like thoughts of like, Alamid Itim? Something like that, no, just to keep it like...
Alamid is already black, I think. I don't know. I'll have to Google that.
So come back to Sandata. Yeah. So why Sandata?
It was cool, you know. Weapon was cool.
Oh, okay.
Calling yourself a weapon. My justification at the time was that my body was a weapon. No. I was the weapon.
Yeah.
And that was pahul, super pahul.
Josh Alexander, walking weapon.
Yeah.
Diba? Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Josh Alexander. Super pahul. And it was, now that I think about it, super cringe. But, you know, people liked it. Why?
No. I don't know why you see it as cringe, though.
But, I don't know. Kasi pahul siya eh.
It's nice. It's nice.
It doesn't really mean much, you know?
But
I guess it lines up then with the lucha stuff.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. If you were to do like... If Sandata was booked in a AAA show...
I guess.
It would have worked. It would have worked.
Tapos, I spelled it all caps. I kind of got bothered when people wouldn't spell it all caps. Kasi...
From where?
From the Japanese guys. Like Kushida.
No. Like what?
I don't know. Some people didn't spell it all caps. They just spelled it normally.
Oh, okay.
So... I wanted
stylized.
Yeah, the stylized is all caps like the Japanese guys. You know, that's how they write it sometimes.
Okay.
So, the Filipino flavor of the character... resonated with Tarek El Tayesh, then the head creative of MWF. So that's why he wanted me to get booked to MWF. That's why he wanted me for MWF. That's why I was booked in 2018.
Yeah, the first show.
Yeah. So we'll get to that eventually. But you know. The others from that batch, Mike Madrigal had to go abroad to study. I believe culinary arts or to intern or something. I forgot. But he went abroad to perfect his, you know, day
That's
job.
Why he was gone for a bit.
Yeah, he was gone for a bit.
Because I was surprised. He just jumped back into the scene like, whoa.
Yeah. He didn't get to graduate again. Crystal naman, I don't remember why she didn't graduate yet, but I believe maybe she wasn't fully ready, which was a far cry from how she is now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, she is... She is,
could say, top of the women's rankings in the Philippines.
She wrestles like a Joshi
without
having trained as a Joshi. So I'm glad that she found her her niche.
She watches a lot.
And the style she is super comfortable with.
She watches a lot, though? Like
I don't know if she watches a lot of Joshi. I believe she hasn't watched wrestling in a while. Pero alam mo yan, like, she's so good that she doesn't need to like train every week.
No, because I'm thinking about it. Like, how, if you say that she wrestles like a Joshi, where does she get
that? She got that from Sanemi Sakura. She did
train in
Gato Move before it became Choco Pro.
Yeah. Choco Pro.
So, may training siya dun. And that's a lot more than most people can say.
So, the people left since Mike had to go study abroad and Crystal wasn't ready, who is left?
Yeah, the rest of us who debuted, it's, you know, still the same people.
Yeah.
So the others already had like a clear direction on where they wanted to go. But me and Peter, wala masyado kasi, wala, they didn't, I don't know. I don't know if they thought that we weren't as ready or they just didn't have any ideas. Creative has nothing for you.
Said that catering.
Yeah. So, but they still needed bodies, diba, for the card. So they booked us, or, you know, OL Babasa was the head of creative at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have much ideas for either of us. So he booked us as a tag team. And then it was a random tag team. We didn't really have much in common other than the fact that Peter was athletic and I was kind of athletic. And, we could have been exciting as a team if we fleshed out our styles a little more. Although, you know, Peter wanted to be a high flyer. He had the hops for being a high flyer. And Owell called us DualShock.
The PlayStation controller.
The PlayStation controller. It's a cool name.
It is a cool name.
But it didn't have much behind it.
Creative. Yeah.
It was just a cool name. And it was just two dudes who looked athletic.
What's the tag team name of Strike Force?
Tito Santana and Rick Martel. Because
I was like, what's Strike Force? Like, it felt like that.
It's a Strike Force.
It's a Strike Force. Okay. Dual Shock. Okay. You guys provide shock as a team?
As like, a team? As a duo?
As a duo? Oh, okay. Understood.
So we graduated and we were booked on Vendetta 2015.
Yeah.
That was February 2015. That was my official debut as a wrestler. And we were booked against both tag teams, the other two tag teams that we had, which was...
So it was a three-way?
No, it wasn't a three-way. Oh. Yeah, I'll explain in a bit. Because then they muta ko nito until I saw the results on Wikipedia.
Oh, you had to check?
Yeah, I got to check. Yeah. So we were booked first against Mark Di Manalo and Canto Terror, who were the Filipino flavored characters. One was a tambay, tanguero. The other was a promdi.
Okay. Union gimmick. Okay. That's a gimmick. MDM.
Yeah. The Dual Shock idea, I guess they thought we were kind of exciting as athletes, and then we would just figure it out eventually, and we would grow into a nice little team. Like, you know, how you stick two guys together, and then they would become a good team.
America's Most Wanted.
Something like that,
Chris Harris, James Storm.
Yeah. So we were booked twice. First was against Fighters for Hire. First was against Mark Di Manalo and Canto Terror.
That was the first match.
We lost that match, you know. They booked us to lose that match. He booked us to lose that match because the characters of the other two were more over. Because they were more resonant.
Yeah, with the Filipino audience.
But I still think, this is me not being bitter, but I still think, because us losing went a long way towards our perception, towards the fans' perception of us. And because they were comedy characters, I didn't think they should have won.
How so?
Wala, kasi one, I thought that Peter and I were the better wrestlers, the better athletes.
Okay.
And I think MDM would tell you that now, would admit that now. And then KT, Canto Terror, would also admit that he isn't the best athletes. Best athlete. You know, so I thought we deserved to win that.
So you wanted like a level of legitimacy somehow. Yeah.
So I felt that as comedy acts, they were already over because of their characters. They didn't need to win.
So you thought you guys needed to win to get over while the other one is already over. There wasn't a balance somehow. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I felt like OL thought at the time that because they were over, which is, it makes sense. Pero, alam mo yun, I didn't feel like they were better than us as athletes.
As athletes. Okay.
This is me sounding selfish as fuck, but you know, it is. I don't know. It's my personal feelings.
Opinion. Yeah, of course.
I get it. Looking back from a booking perspective, but I also don't get it. You know, I thought it was unfair, especially because after that, we complained on the mic. Shempre, we were scripted to complain on the mic. We demanded another match. And then Mr. C, who was already
You did it. You had two matches in one night?
Yes, we did.
So I thought you were. I said it was a three-way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we demanded from Mr. C to give us another match, if I remember it correctly. And then Mr. Stan was already the general manager of PWR then. And then
was he trained though?
No, he was not trained. He was just a manager. He was just an NPC. So he gave us a match versus his personal bodyguards, which was Fighters for Hire.
Sheesh.
Those guys, I didn't mind losing to. Because they had shoot experience. Both Joey Bax and Miguel Rosales knew what they wanted to do. Joey Bax was a judoka.
Yeah, continue.
Miguel Rosales, I believe, trained in MMA. Migs, if you're listening to this, just correct me.
We'll have him in the comment section. Yeah. I was trained.
but Miguel Rosales wanted to be Brock Lesnar, and he was good at that. He did suplexes really well. He did the F5 really well.
Was it his finish?
Yes, the F5 was his finish. Okay. He called it Cariño Brutal.
Nice name.
And I think he did the Jackhammer too. He was so good. When Sina Canyon Seaman scouted us back in 2017, he gave his card to Miguel Rosales.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Crystal, I think.
Because, I think Crystal is an obvious one. The Migs, I got shocked.
Yeah.
And then I remember, he was good. Yeah.
He was that good. And I didn't mind losing to them. And so we should... Although, I guess it made sense now. Kasi,
wait, before you continue. So, you explained Migs' background. Mm. How about Joey Bax? Like, what was his background?
He was a judoka, I believe.
Like a legit,
legit judoka.
Oh. Okay. Okay, continue. Go back.
Tawagdan?
The match.
I guess it made sense now. We lost, so we demanded another match. But I felt like we should have won because we were losing twice. And that just really, you know, that pummels your reputation on screen in kayfabe. Diba? At the time, though, I was willing to go with the flow of booking. I didn't want to be selfish. I didn't want to be one of those guys who demanded to be booked a certain way. But looking back on it, talaga, it just felt off to me. So I didn't mind losing to Fighters for Hire because they were really good, you know. Then we didn't really know what we were doing as wrestlers, you know.
You and Peter both.
That.
Oh,
everyone involved in that tag division. We didn't know what we were doing. I don't think we knew the basic formula for a match. I think...
Wait, so that was the tag division? You three?
Yes,
the three
that was,
teams?
Yes. That was
okay,
us three.
Okay. No one even bothered to just step down a little bit? Maybe someone wasn't working as a singles competitor, so he was thinking, he or she was thinking about...
Wala.
No one? Okay.
Wala. So we were just doing things. We were cool, putting together spots. That's it. Yeah. I think we knew how to do finishes, but other than that, we were just throwing together spots. And then as a team, we didn't have that much chemistry because I wasn't as athletic as Peter. He became the breakout star because he could do much more cool moves. And maybe we could have worked on it a little more if we trained together and come up with stuff together a little more. But we didn't because we weren't close. And Peter,
close as friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as... Max and I aren't close as well. I aren't super close, but you know, we like each other and we worked on being a team together.
Yeah. This time we weren't.
Peter also didn't go to training as much because it was hard for him. He lived in Bulacan and then training was in Parañaque.
Too far.
Sam Baltazar came from Baguio every other week.
Oh my God. Yep. Oh.
Yes, sir.
Far. Okay. So now that you know, there is now a difference now. You have some sort of, I'm just using the term, not necessarily the official word for it, but like a professional rift with Peter Versosa. Mm. So on a individual level, what was like the fleshing out of Sandata looked like? What style did you want to perform? What was going through your mind at that time? Because, of course, it was tag. But, of course, on your own, you know, what were you thinking at that moment?
I wanted to be a luchador, for sure. I wanted to do cool lucha things. Okay. Good lucha things.
Okay.
But nobody was there to train us how to do lucha stuff. Like, I would see stuff on YouTube or whatever. TikTok nun, diba?
Yeah.
I would see all that stuff and I would try to do it, but I didn't really know how to do it. The only lucha thing I knew was Arana, Hurricane Rana. And Mayhem taught me that. That was the only thing I knew how to do. And then
even the arm drags, nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
It was only until Kota Hiro came by that he taught some more lucha stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, I also wanted to wrestle like Bryan Danielson, you know.
Yeah, your favorite wrestler of all time.
Yes. I wanted to do more slow stuff, heavy stuff, striking, technical wrestling, little mat wrestling. But there was also like an identity crisis for me. Kasi I was a masked luchador. And when you see a masked luchador, you expect that guy to do high-flying acrobatic lucha libre.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that. I couldn't really do that. Peter was a lot better at that than I was. So I stuck to the ground game, especially after we broke up. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it kind of felt weird. Fans still liked me, but it kind of felt weird to not be doing lucha things because that was their expectation of a luchador.
Of a masked
like, I was
man.
Getting called Rey Mysterio and I couldn't do Rey Mysterio stuff.
Yeah.
I couldn't do a 619. Bombay did the 619. Diba?
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I wish I had stayed sa boot camp na lang. I wasn't ready to graduate. Looking back on it, I wasn't ready to graduate when I graduated. I wish I had trained more. I was able to learn more basics and advanced stuff. So, it was just really bad for me. I felt like I needed more seasoning. Yeah,
more experience at least.
That was my first show. I was super nervous, and then, like I always was, I talk about this a little more in the previous episode, in the first episode. But back then, I didn't think I was that nervous because I was in a tag team. That's what I was talking about earlier, diba? So I was in a tag team. I was with somebody else. I was also with two other guys in the ring, and then another two other guys. So if I had debuted as a singles competitor, then I think I would have been a bigger nervous wreck. Yeah, so that's the first show. It was MCS. I don't really miss MCS as a location, as an arena, because it was really bad. But, you know, syempre may nostalgia factor pa rin.
Yeah, to make do with what you have back then. So before we officially end, how about let's do this for every episode?
Okay, sure.
Like, how about anything you would have done differently during this time?
Other than the
booking decision that you didn't like. Maybe anything else that you'd...
Back then, kasi, I wasn't selfish at all. A lot of other guys would try to script a lot of spots for themselves to really look good, you know, get a lot of stuff in, get over. I didn't do that kasi I thought, you know, we had to stick to a time. You had to make the other guys look good too. And then I didn't know how to do a lot of other moves then. But maybe I should have, you know, to get a little more over.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what I would have done differently. So maybe I would have had, I would have tried the Danielson stuff.
More.
Yeah.
Instead of having that identity crisis.
Instead of trying to figure out how to be a luchador and do lucha libre. So yeah, that was it. That was Vendetta 2015.
So that was your first show.
Yeah.
And then for the next few couple of episodes, hopefully, when we keep doing this, we'll be going through a retrospective.
Oh, we will be doing
all
this
the shows.
We were doing this for one season.
Yeah.
And maybe more.
Not just one season. No. But yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
After that, it was fun though. I will say it was fun, even though MCS wasn't that great. There's always, even though you're nervous, because there's always a feeling of euphoria and then dopamine and serotonin, you know,
like doing this.
Yeah. After the show, I'm a wrestler now, even though I just had one match, and the bug bit me. You know, it was my hyperfixation at the time when I debuted. So, that would lead to my the rest of my career.
Yeah,
until now.
Let's begin. Actually, this is like the true beginning of the podcast.
Yes, it is.
Because the first one was just a catch-up, so.
Yeah.
Now it begins.
Yeah, so we got to get out of here. That's the end of episode 2 of Unmasked.
Where can we find you?
You can find me at shang.daddy on Instagram, where I post a lot of the wrestling stuff, my career, and my nostalgia clips. If you want to listen to my... wrestling takes as part of the podcast, it's at roiswar, R-O-I-S-W-A-R, on Twitter. Kao, ABL, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at ABL Anselmo. All non-related stuff just on Instagram, but everything wrestling, that's on Twitter. So,
right. we'll see you next time on Unmasked episode 3. We'll continue further on my first year in wrestling.
Yes.
And episode 4 as well. So stay tuned for that. And if you're here, thank you for coming along on this journey. Thank you to Babyface producers and staff members, managers, marketing people of Podcast Network Asia and Pod Machine for helping make all of this possible. We hope it's a fun and successful show for all of you. Siempre, we want to keep doing this as well. So yeah, until then, guys, listeners, ladies and gentlemen, please stay safe. Do good, do well, be nice. Don't be a dick to other people, you know?
Important, important.
Stay healthy, both physically and mentally. Until then, this has been Romaran/Sundata and ABL Anselmo.
We're out of time.